My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success. I've been telling everybody that our government is shady. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your...
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know? If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You know, just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt? Hey everybody, I know there is a little bit of a weird feedback coming from Hakeem's microphone on this interview. I did my best to edit it, and unfortunately it still sounds a little weird, so I apologize. It shouldn't be so bad as to stop you from making it through the interview, but if that is the case, I understand. I don't fault you. And because of this, I put out a second episode today with Derek Bros. So that'll be coming out in an hour from now. And yeah, thank you for bearing with us. And I still think Hakeem was a great guest, had a ton of valuable information. It is unfortunate that he was having some sort of difficulty. It was much worse when we started. We tried to fix it, and it still came through regardless. So maybe we'll do a round two and fix that next time ahead of time. But anyways, regardless, still a worthwhile episode to listen to. Otherwise, I wouldn't post it. So enjoy. And yeah, that's the disclaimer. Save the comments, please.
Really not uncommon for intelligence agencies to lay out like full product suites, encrypted phones, just to entrap people, to entrap criminals. And in this case, like the key thing that you could take away is none of the products that they were selling, like EncroChat, was not open source, it was proprietary. So it was something that you sign into and use. It was hosted by, at this point, the intelligence agencies, and people could not run it themselves. So it's, you know, it's the same paradigm with everything. When you buy food from the supermarket, you're trusting that, I hope this doesn't have Apple sprayed on it. Well, it's the same thing with your software. If you can't run it yourself, then who's really behind it? And that goes for Signal, because Signal, it's very difficult to run yourself. It has reliance on many different things, including like Twilio, for the phone number verification, has reliance to Google services for notifications.
You just heard today's guest, founder and creator of Above Phone. I'm your host, Mystic Mark. Thank you for tuning in, and enjoy this episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast, episode 498, with today's guest, Hakeem Anwar. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us today on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast is Hakeem Anwar, bringing a revolutionary, I think, series of devices that especially people in this audience are going to want to check out. They're going to want to invest some time in learning about this. This is not a sales pitch. This is, in my opinion, a way to level up and take everything we talk about on this podcast very seriously, right? Because we talk about some pretty incredible stuff that regularly gets censored and suppressed. And yeah, who knows? Politics change, So without further ado, Hakeem Anwar, welcome to the show. Hakeem, tell us a little bit about Above Phone, and then I want to hear about your story and how you got into this. But first, tell us about Above Phone and what brings us to this podcast today.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. It's good to join you today, and thank you for the kind words. Yeah, it's really nuts how technology has invaded every aspect of our lives. You know, I didn't really expect it growing up, kind of being a nerd. But now it's a part of everything. And unfortunately, it has its role in every conspiracy as well. So it's just weird. And there's this spiritual aspect of it too, the spiritual war that is happening on our devices. The privacy aspect is one side. You know, they're watching what you're browsing. They're tracking your location. They're listening to you on your phones. We already kind of know all of that stuff, but where does it actually stop? Or is there even a stop? Will they never stop? Those are the questions that I've been interested in. And more importantly, I wanted to do something about it. So back in 2020, while I was working on activist movements, we started thinking through all the technologies we would need to feel good and to feel private and to feel secure about the work we were doing. And that eventually turned into the Above Phone. So if you're interested and having a privacy phone that is actually genuine, built on open source software, is not tied with government, because there's a lot of fake privacy projects out there. There's one, there's a privacy phone making the rounds on Joe Rogan right now, and the dude running it is ex-Blackwater. So there's a lot of disingenuous stuff out there. And I truly believe in the software and projects that we're involved of. And so if you want to check that out, go to abovephone.com. We've also got a discount for you, crazy. And I'll get into it. And for those of you that are listening in, you might want to watch the video, because I'll get to show the phone on the screen a little bit too.
Yeah. And it's not just phones, it's laptops and tablets as well. And folks have heard me talk about the Raw Optics lenses that I'm wearing, but you guys have built in that blue light filter right into the phone. And my understanding is that phones, they have something like a blue light filter, but is there no blue light in these devices at all? How does that work? Have you used a different type of technology there that doesn't have that harmful effect on the eye?
Yeah. Good question. And I'm glad, you're rocking those Raw Optics. Those are nice. I should be wearing mine. With blue light, there's a little bit of a nuance to it, but these new OLED screens on all of these brand new phones are throwing off so much blue light, and it's causing all these different types of issues that I'm sure you know about. People are getting temporary blindness. Kids these days, I mean, they're spending up to 8 hours on their phone, so their eyes are getting smashed. And so, I mean, luckily, Android offers a way to, we call it nightlight. So you can basically take, it's a changing of the color temperature. So it makes it a lot warmer. It does reduce blue light. It's still an OLED screen. Even on the laptops, like there's the screens are designed for low blue light, but it doesn't mean that there's no blue light. And so the best thing to do is to do what you're doing. You've got those blue light blockers that are blocking everything.
Yeah. Well, and I love the transparency of it all. And I want to learn more about the devices and Above Phone in general. But let's start with who you are and where you began this journey. Because, Above Phone didn't happen overnight, right? So tell us about yourself and what led up to you getting into this space.
Yeah, man. So I've been on the journey for a while being a conspiracy theorist. I mean, that's basically what I was doing in college instead of going to classes. I've been awake for a long time and researching about deep underground military bases, all that kind of stuff. So by the time I was a working professional, a software engineer, I was building web and mobile applications, living in New York City. I was just maybe a little bit too ambitious for my own good. I was working at big tech companies, small startups, all that sort of stuff. And one thing I realized was, like, one, I wasn't fulfilled. And then I looked at the people who were working at Amazon and Google, and I was like, no one in this fucking building is happy. Like, it's soul crushing. because it's all, these are all military programs. They're structured like military programs, but it's so true too, the way they're structured on a need to know basis. That's why when the whole prison leaks happened, Edward Snowden, and they went to Facebook, hey, do you know anything about the leaks? They would honestly say, no, we don't know anything about the leaks, because the companies are so compartmentalized and they're just cogs in the machine. And so I was working in this type of environment, and then COVID-1984 happened. And I knew that, like, I didn't want to be in New York City. I saw shit shut down overnight, and I wanted to do something about it. I didn't want to just build the prison around me. So I had some good friends at the time who I'd been looking up to, and I just kind of got connected with. One of them is Derek Groves, and he was working that initiative with our other friend, John Bush, at the time, called the Freedom Cell Network. And by the way, you should totally both have them on the show. And he was the first person to make me realize, like, hey, we are co-creators in this. This is not the reality we prefer. Then let's do something about it. And I got to help with the tech infrastructure of this website called Freedom Cells, which, if you're interested, you can go to freedomcells.org and find people who are to a lot of what is going on in the world, kind of with the same values and mentality, which is really, really cool. So check that out at freedomcells.org. But through this process, I realized, like, it wasn't the big tech companies that I was working at. Like, that was really nothing. The true power of the internet is bringing people together under a unified cause. And, you know, that's what the Freedom Cell Network did. I saw it change lives. I saw the event we were working on at the Greater Reset, now the People's Reset, changed lives. And I was like, okay, this is what I need to be doing. And so, you know, my resource, the thing I could share with people was how to protect their technology. And if anyone needs it, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you're running this podcast on these taboo topics, right? It's an uphill battle. So that was my goal, to teach people how to use friendly technology, to empower them to use it for the greater good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really tricky spot to be in, because you want to educate yourself, but then at the same time, there's this paranoia that, oh, am I compromising myself by researching this stuff? You mentioned you were staying out of class to research all this stuff. I was just always so invested that there was no turning back. But I can see where people started using Telegram and Signal and these different programs that gave the illusion of privacy or the illusion of security. But we found out within a matter of a couple months or years, depending on which company we're looking at, that these, in fact, were not to be trusted. And even if they were started by trustworthy people, there's a good chance that maybe these got infiltrated. But I heard you talking to our friend Charlie Robinson about a phone that the FBI marketed under a shell company name, and they were selling these phones to drug dealers specifically, or trying to market them in a way that would be attractive to drug dealers, criminals. And they used these phones to gather information and eventually make some arrests. But tell me about that case, because I think this is a good indication, and everything that happened on J6 as well, with the FBI going after all these people based on them having a video of themselves and in front of the Capitol or the White House. And it's just like ridiculous, the length they went to track people down. So tell me about the FBI story there.
Yeah, well, I think I want to say that was in ProChat. And then there's a few different programs that would happen. One was by French intelligence agencies, and they were targeting drug dealers in Europe. And the FBI case, it's not my area of specialty, but I will say it's really not uncommon for intelligence agencies to lay out, like, full product suites, encrypted phones, just to entrap people and to entrap criminals. And in this case, like, the key thing that you could take away is none of the products that they were selling, like EncroChat, was not open source. It was proprietary. So it was something that you sign into and use. It was hosted by, at this point, the intelligence agencies, and people could not run it themselves. So it's, you know, it's the same paradigm with everything. when you buy food from the supermarket, you're trusting that, I hope this doesn't have Apple sprayed on it. Well, it's the same thing with your software. If you can't run it yourself, then who's really behind it? And that goes for Signal, because Signal, it's very difficult to run yourself. It's has reliance on many different things, including like Twilio for the phone number verification. It has reliance to Google services for notifications. And also Telegram would also fall in that. You can't host your own Telegram. So this is, you know, a concept that people call self-hosting. And I think that's the future for the freedom movement, is we need to flex our technological muscles and run things on a community level. So with Above, every single product and service we have, that's actually built on open source technology that you can run yourself. So everything we're doing, even if we get too big, we get too successful, or whatever happens, there is always a continuation. It's not like we can take all of the entire user base and lock them in. And so we do this through our chat protocol called XMPP, which anyone can run by themselves. Email with people can run by themselves. Video conferencing and all these different things, which don't lock you in, which can work on any phone, not just an Above phone, but it could work on an iPhone technically. It could work on a normal laptop. But of course, our devices are set up, so it's just really easy to use and you get up and running out of the box.
Now, what's the typical lifespan on a device like this? Because, you know, we've talked about the concept of planned obsolescence on the show before, and it seems like the way Apple and these large companies function is they need to continue to up the profits, please the shareholders. And how do you do that? Well, you make a product that is going to become defunctional at some point, and then you can replace it or whatever, right? And they keep staggering it up and up. Oh, more features. We got this now. Oh, it took us so hard. We worked so hard to get. So is it possible that somebody gets an Above phone and it lasts them something like 10 or 20 years? Is that even possible for a device like a cell phone? What's the real truth behind like something like a lifespan of a device? Because it seems like we can't trust the corporations and the way they have dispensed this technology to us.
Definitely. Yeah, I think there's several layers to that. The first is, you know, when you get a device, there are updates that you get from the manufacturers themselves. It's like the lower levels, internals of the phone. So things like the radio. And what ends up happening is security researchers are finding ways to attack different systems on the phone all the time. So the USB-C port on the bottom of the phone, or trying to access its memory by trying to intercept its radio communications, or by trying to send it commands to run to pull its data off. And so as these vulnerabilities are found, they have to patch them, right? So that's why there's these regular updates, and not every phone is created equal. Ironically, these phones are running Google hardware, which sounds like it's the end of the world, but really, that's what's chosen for, because Google has some of the most consistent updates over a long period of time. So if you get the newest phone we have, which is the Pixel 9, that will actually have updates past 2031. So, hey, you'll survive Agenda 2030 and you won't need to have to buy a new phone. Now, that being said, you can still continue to use these phones after the update period has ran out, but then the risk of the security vulnerabilities just continues to get higher and higher. If you're not doing anything important on your phone, I don't think that's such a big deal. But, you know, if you are safeguarding a lot of important possessions, I wouldn't go without security updates. So kind of a nuanced discussion. I think the laptops do a lot better with this, because one, there's less of a surface area. You're not dealing with cellular networks. You're connected to Wi-Fi. And there are security updates that are released at the kernel level and for all the different software on your laptop. So our laptops, which we call Above Book, if you go to abovephone.com and look at our products, you can kind of see our laptops. there. It's we use an operating system, which we build off of this operating system, which is constantly updating itself. So every piece of software gets updated. So you always have the newest, most secure versions of that software. So that's another thing you can do that'll help.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. I'm just curious. I figure you have some insider information as far as how maybe the actual rubber meets the road with what this technology is actually capable of. And of course, you know, it's hard for the consumer to tell because there's a lot of corporate propaganda around convincing us that, oh, this is the best they can do. And, oh, there'll be a better one next year, which I don't get that sense from Above Phone. I'm not asking you those questions to put the spotlight on Above Phone. But yeah, just from your perspective of working in this space, what are some of the catches? Obviously, we know Google's spying on us. They're selling our data. But what else? How detailed does it go? I heard you talking to Charlie about something about them collecting down to your GPS routes, like the routes you take. If you're connected to Google Maps, it'll record your regular routine, your goings on. That's really weird.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many, this all comes from using a big tech phone, Google or Apple, because these phones, the phones we use are not just like an isolated phone. They really rely on a lot of things in the background to navigate you to where you're going. And so what you brought up with the location services is Google's location services are feeding into this massive secret database that no one knew about until around, I think it was around 2020 when Congress started asking questions about it. They were like, what is this? It's this database called Sensor Vault. And it was being fed with everyone's Google Maps data. And also if you were using an Android phone, it was being fed with Google location services. So it didn't matter if you were using an iPhone, as long as you were using Google Maps, you were in this database. And this was really special and novel to law enforcement, because now they could do even less work to investigate a crime. They could literally go onto the secret database, Google, draw a circle around the area they wanted and pick a date and time, and they could see all the phones that showed up in that area. So it revolutionized how law enforcement was, surveillance was conducted. And since then, Google has taken a step back. They've said, hey, now they've kind of, they're severely really at playing the sleight of word. And so they said, okay, we hear you don't like the secret database. We're going to make sure the Google Maps data stays on your phone. Anyone who really knows how this works knows that it's not directly coming from Google. It's coming from Google's location services, and didn't make a comment about that. They also made no comment about the secret database called Sensor Vault. Does it exist? Are they going to continue to let law enforcement request data from it? And so, as you mentioned earlier, too, this is how the January 6th protesters were caught through Sensor Vault. So it's really, really crazy once you have a large pool of data on what you can do. And Google's, you know, Google isn't the only location-enabled app. You know, Apple has its own infrastructure. I could talk a little bit about that, but there's like SnapX, like any of these apps that request location can track you over time.
Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't even realized X was tracking locations. I should go in and check my settings and make sure, because a lot of times now with the apps, as soon as you sign up, they're auto selecting these different options and toggling choices for you. And selecting it, and you have to go into the settings and make it as difficult as possible to figure out.
Right.
But yeah, that's really, really creepy that they have all that data. Now, Apple famously has taken a more, I guess you could say, pro-privacy stance. How superficial is that? Because you just alluded to Apple Maps having this as well. It seems like Apple is just as bad as Google.
Yeah, you know, there is this controlling perception is very, very important to them. And there is always these, there's probably a correct word for it, but I would call them like staged controversies. Like, ooh, Apple tells the FBI to fuck off and I'm going to hand them over any data. But historically, if you look, all of their technologies have surveillance embedded in them. I mean, it's well known that the iMessage's end-to-end encryption, they were forced to create a backdoor to that encryption. This was a while back. But if you look at all of the moves Apple is making, there's several instances they're using people who have iPhones to collect the Wi-Fi networks of everyone around the world. And security researchers were able to test this. And so Apple has their own location service, similar to how Google's works. It doesn't use GPS. It uses the location of nearby Wi-Fi networks. So these two companies have already gathered pretty much all the Wi-Fi networks in the world. So the Wi-Fi network at your house is on Apple or Google servers somewhere. And so when you have an iPhone, you're out in the world, you will request, hey, here's the local Wi-Fi networks. Where exactly am I? And so the security researchers were able to find that Apple already had 2 billion Wi-Fi networks. So that's just one data point. I recently finished this article on Take Back Our Tech, which is our educational initiative, takebackourtech.org. It's called How Big Tech Wants to Read Your Mind. And this is news that came out in February. So it's pretty recent, but Apple just announced a health study. And this health study is using your iPhone, and it's asking, so you can enroll into the study and it'll ask you questions from the Apple research app. It'll ask women like about their menstrual cycle. It'll ask you about your sleeping habits. And then if you have your Apple Watch, it's literally tracking your heart rate. So I decided in this report to go look at the privacy policy for this. And who are they allowed to share data with? Well, other than U.S. Health and Human Services and the FDA. And so they are conducting this medical research at scale. Anyone who has Apple products can enroll into it. And then if you look at their patents, you can actually see what they're planning to do is to put the sensors, biosensors, like sensors that can conduct electroencephalograms, EEG, to read your brain waves. And these would be in the AirPods. There's also patents for them to be in the Apple Vision Pro. So you can kind of see with this health app, the more sensors they add, the more that they can learn from your bio data. And that's the freaky part. That's like, where does it stop? It goes way past 1984. So I'm interested in all of that and where it goes.
Yeah. Well, and if we could see where it's gone from where it was, it's likely that it's going to get more and more sophisticated to the point where you won't need AirPods in or crazy vision mask on your face. They'll just have a sensor in your phone that can read the ambient moods and brain waves of all, you know, nearby bystanders. I mean, that's insane to think that this sort of technology is being built. Now, you know, I wear occasionally this type of that has Faraday fabric on the inside of it, you know, hopefully protecting me. Not these headphones, but the Bluetooth headphones that I have, I put it on the inside. So there are ways, you know, you can protect yourself from these things. But for the most part, even an above phone working on 4G, there's still going to be some sort of EMF going on there, right? Yeah. So if you're worried about EMFs, you're going to want a Faraday bag or some sort of protection. But talk to me about the above phone's 5G capabilities, because people are really worried about 5G. And I've heard from people that you don't need 5G to operate a phone, connect to the internet, and do things that your average smartphone can do.
Yeah, really good question. And I'm going to bring the phone up here if I can. But you're right. You don't need 5G. And electrosensitivity is really important. A good amount of our customers are electrosensitive. I'm electrosensitive myself, so I really feel it can really bother me. And so we've tried to be thoughtful in the different solutions we're bringing with above phone. One of those has been to have ways you can use it without any radiation. Now, one of the ways you can do that is you can use an Ethernet adapter and then just plug a cable into it. So at home, it could just be sitting on a stand, plug into this adapter, and you can use, you can make a call using an internet phone number, and the phone will actually not be emitting any radiation besides from what the electronics emit, but the radio isn't going to be on. So for those who are electrosensitive, this is something that they probably want to look into. And, you know, Above Phone, we sell the phone, we sell the accessories that you can do this, but it's not special to us. You should be able to do this for most phones. And I would love to, it's my phone's giving me a little itchy here trying to display it, but as soon as I get it up, I'll show you the other things you can do as well. The other thing is you can use it without any, you can disable the connectivity mode from 5G to 4G and LTE only. That's what some people decide.
Right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. First and foremost, we've got the Hit Kit, the number one way to stay lit. State by state, the Hit Kit is spreading across the nation. That's right, the Hit Kit is going viral with its new 50 states collection. You can get a Hit Kit branded with your home state. I'm looking forward to receiving my Connecticut Hit Kit in the mail very soon, and I encourage you to get yourself a Hit Kit to stay lit no matter what you're smoking on. Go and check out the Hit Kit and see exactly what I'm talking about at the Hit Kit on Instagram or hitkit.us, and use the promo code CRAZY to save at checkout. Next up, we've got Above Phone, and you should know all about Above Phone because you're listening to an episode all about Above Phone. Use the promo code CRAZY and save. Use that affiliate code and protect your privacy. Protect your security now. Use the Above Phone today. I have been using it for the past week or so, and I love my access to open source apps. It reminds me of when I was on the early days of the internet, and you can go to all of these really cool websites. They have it there in this deplatformed app store where you can find a ton of open source apps. Not all of them are going to be easy to figure out, but that's half the fun. Some of them are no-brainers, and the alternatives to all of the apps that normally spy on you are well worth it. So use the promo code CRAZY and get the Above Phone. Next up, we've got BrainSupreme.co, and let me tell you, I love Brain Supreme. Whenever I'm feeling writer's block or a little funk, I take a microdose and I'm good to go. Gets me right where I need to be. So check it out if you're interested in microdosing. I've interviewed the founder, Adam Schell, who isn't just putting psilocybin in there, folks, okay? This is a overall performance blend, okay? And they've got special blends designed for exactly what you need. So don't take it from me. BrainSupreme.co, check them out today. Brain Supreme, wherever you browse social media, and use the promo code CRAZY to save at checkout. I'm telling you, folks, Brain Supreme will take you to the next level. And last but not least, I need you guys all to check out Vibe Med X, the number one supplier of Shilajit. If you're looking for Shilajit, Vibe Med X has got your back, and you can get a discount with the promo code CRAZY, of course. What am I doing here, folks? I'm giving you everything you need. All the products with a discount. Get your health right. Shilajit for the win. We're going to be having Ron, the man behind Vibe Med X, on the show soon to tell us all about Shilajit and why it's an important supplement to take. I've been taking it, and I don't know what it's doing yet, but I like it. So more about Shilajit soon. Promo code CRAZY, and that's it. We'll be right back to this episode with Hakeem Anwar after a break to the dynamic ads. Remember, if you want every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast ad-free and interruption-free, sign up on Patreon, patreon.com/MFTIC. It's well worth it, folks. You don't have to hear me jabber on, talking about our sponsors, keeping the lights on over here at the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast studio apartment. Because yes, I do work from home. My home is my work. And with the help of all of our supporters, I can continue to put out up to 10 episodes a month. I mean, where else are you getting full episodes of these excellent interviews? This is high quality stuff on par with tons of other podcasts that half of the time only give you half of the show. Not us here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. So sign up on the Patreon, patreon.com/MFTIC or myfamilythinksimcrazy.substack to support the show, support the interviews. And I will say, since we're getting close to this milestone, episode 500, there will be some thoughts as to how this episode is going to improve and change moving forward. So stay tuned and listen in for episode 500. All right, let's take a moment to thank our sponsor, Hims. If you need a boost in the bedroom, Hims has got your back. They're there to help you out with personalized ED treatments, and it's all online. They've changed men's healthcare by providing you with access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your home. Hims provides access to a range of doctor-trusted ED treatments like chewable hard mints, Viagra, and Cialis, and their generics for up to 95% cheaper. So this process is 100% online, and there's no need to go visit a doctor. So you just answer a series of questions, no insurance is needed, and you get it all for one low price. Don't just take it from me. Hims has got thousands of trusted subscribers, and Hims can help you find the ED option that works for you. So start your free online visit today at hims.com/crazy. That's hims.com/crazy for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/crazy. The products mentioned are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Prices varied based on product and subscription plan. Yeah, that is a cool option to have. And of course, it's probably good to have the 5G just in case you are in a bad spot and you need to contact help or whatever, help, call a friend. I've lived in an area where I only had 4G connection and it was a pain in the ass making a call. Yeah, it is cool to find out you can choose when you want the 5G on and off.
I do want to mention something too while we're on this topic, is that there's a lot of confusion, which I think they do on purpose around 5G. What most people are worried about is the 5G millimeter wave. And if you're in New York City, you're probably around 5G millimeter wave. But if you're anywhere with like less urban density, it's really unlikely that you're going to encounter millimeter wave. So the millimeter wave is the really scary type of radiation, which is really high, super high frequency. But the thing is because it's super high frequency, it can't travel that far. It can only travel 200 feet. So you don't find it in very many places. Only the most urban, densely populated places, apartment buildings, things like that, is where you would find 5G. For most people, the 5G that we're talking about in the phones is just a software-based improvement on 4G. It's really what it is for most people. unfortunately, 5G and 5G millimeter wave kind of get lumped in. So I would say, like, unless you're in New York City, which, you know, I doubt you would be in anyways, if you cared about this, then not to stress about it too much. But again, with this phone, you have the freedom to choose which level you want.
Yeah. Now, is that different from what you see if you're driving out in a rural area? You see these, in my area, they're like, it's a complete monstrosity. They put these towers up and then they put these awful fake branches on the sides of them to make it look like some kind of tree, but they just really make a mockery of a tree. Is that not 5G? Because it's not, well, not the same 5G millimeter wave that's coming from those large towers. Cause I can't imagine anybody's connecting within 200 feet based on where those are.
Right. That's going to be standard 5G. They call it, sub-6 G. So
that's good. Yeah, so we have had people on the show who do things like orgone gifting. And now I have an orgone pyramid here on my desk. And people say that orgone somehow accumulates this negative energy or diffuses it. But I've had someone on the show who actually takes it upon themselves to take orgone and round it around 5G towers, which to what effect that, I don't know, the results have ever been measured scientifically, but it's a neat thought. And I definitely encourage people to look into it. I'm not belittling it, but I'm curious what you think of something like that based on what you just said about 5G millimeter waves being overhyped and a little bit of fear.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I have a foot in both worlds. And so there's this whole world that science has really not been able to measure, but there are practices coming out where we're starting to be able to measure it. And one of those things would be the quality of energy. You know, you can think about if you go out into a special place of land or a sacred spot or like a waterfall or something, or sometimes you feel like a certain quality of the energy. It could be more internal, or it could fill you with a lot of energy and make you feel powerful. Well, that's the type of transformation that I think technologies like orgone, technologies like biogeometry, which if you heard about that there's some really amazing stories around biogeometry and how by simply applying different shapes can attune the energy in the environment. Now, if you're in like kind of the scientific materialistic side of things, you would say there's no proof to that because it actually doesn't change the radiation at all. It has its own testing methodology and has different, you know, it has different values for the quality of energy. So we're actually working on a phone case that is going to use some of these different energetic technologies. So it'll attune the energy coming off of phone. We actually finished a 20-person study in Mexico where these people, we had one group and they didn't know which phone was which. They did a phone call with the phone up to their head for 1 minute. And a lot of them were like, do I have to do this? And we were like, it's for the science. You sacrifice yourself for the science. It's just a 1 minute call. And so we were able to test energy levels and their stress levels with and without this energetic technology. So this is something that we're working on. And if you're interested, you could go to abovephone.com/subscribe and just sign up to our email list. I think in the next few months, we'll be able to release the phone case, but it'll just be great because you get a phone that's already treated.
I love hearing that because I think a lot of people's reaction to this type of conversation is, what am I not going to use technology? And to put it in those terms, it's about the quality of the energy that can totally reshape how we interact with our everyday lives, the devices we use, the things in our home. If we cared about the quality of our devices and the energy that they affect us with, then yeah, maybe we'd see companies reflecting those values. So yeah, I'm happy to spread the word as far as that's concerned, because I've definitely stopped putting a phone up to my head. Yeah. I think a lot of people have. Now it's more common to see somebody doing speakerphone, which that comes with its own sort of social rudeness. But still, it what are you going to do? I think most people would just rather take the stigma and talk on speakerphone and let other people hear what you have to say. Yeah, it's interesting to look at where technology can go and then consider what the values are of these companies who are not only selling us out for our data, but then also leaving themselves liable to a whole lot of, it seems like there would be some sort of retribution in the form of lawsuits. It happened with asbestos and factories, right? It happens with certain health products. Nowadays, tampons are getting sued a lot for the neuro reproductive damage that goes on. We're in a weird time.
Yeah, it's you bring up some great points. And to anyone listening out there, what do y'all think about getting Mark set up with an above phone? So he'll be
I would love that. Yeah. If you guys would be kind enough to do that, we can definitely make that happen. Because I got a second phone for the podcast because everyone told me that the iPhone would be better and better camera, etc. But I'm ready to ditch both of them. So yeah, if you guys were kind enough to do that, I'd be really grateful. And we'd love to help spread the word, of course, with the audience. And hey, we're already doing that right now. So it's not just the fact that you're not being spied on with the above phone. The open source aspect leaves a lot of room for some fun stuff. Like you could kind of, I don't know what the right word, curate your phone based on exactly what you need it for, like maybe a little bit more customization than what people are just. I think that's a big reason why people liked iPhone at first, because you felt like you can customize it and personalize it. But now they've become very homogenous. It's like the iPhone does what the iPhone does. I find my Android is way more customizable. So is that the case with the above phone and this open source technology? It gives you a little bit more freedom with what you can do with your phone?
Yeah, absolutely. There's you have just more choice all around. You have more choices in the permissions you want per application. Like for instance, you can even cut off and from the internet entirely. So a lot of the apps that we have on the above phone are meant to be used locally. For instance, our mapping application, you can download the entire map of the United States, put your phone on airplane mode and go on a road trip. Because GPS is a passive protocol, you know, you don't have to connect out anywhere. And so there are different tools you can use like that. So it gives you more freedom on that level with the permissions. Then also with the apps, you have multiple places where you can get apps. One is Aurora Store, which I wish I could show you right now. I might pause in a second to fix the phone. But one of the sources is you can actually pull applications from the official Google Play Store, but you can do it anonymously and privately through this app called the Aurora Store. And so you can still eat your junk food if you want it. You know, if you still need to use something in corporate land or for work or for social media, you can still get those apps on a book phone. They work really well. The only apps that phone might have trouble with are things like 3D games. And then some banking apps, not all banking apps, but some banking apps try and force you to have a verified version of a Google operating system, even though this phone is far more secure than anything you can get on the market. But some banking apps have this deal with Google where they try and ban third parties like Above Phone or this operating system that we use, Graphene OS. So you have more choices in the apps, more choices in the permissions. And then, yeah, anything, if you've used Android before, anything you can do on Android, you can do on Above Phone. So it really ends up giving you a lot of flexibility, a lot of customization. Some other cool features are you can create different profiles in the phone. So Mark, that's like having a second phone within your phone. It's like literally a copy of the phone, but it's completely separated. It's protected by its own encryption key. So the data on one of these containers, called them user profiles, cannot access the main profile and vice versa. So you could have all your social media, or you could have
up to many, many user profiles. I think the max is like 64 or something, which you'll never get there. Maybe you'll have 3 or 4 tops. But once you do, you can have all the apps you would need for that profile. And next month, I'm going to be doing a webinar on the different approaches and strategies to have multiple identities on one phone. Because I think that's what we're living through right now. It's kind of like this superhero story where we have this alter ego, a day job where we might be living in the matrix by day, but we're really transforming and turning into someone who's powerful and who's doing good work, raising the bar higher and many other levels outside of the mainstream. And so to have two identities on one phone is really, really convenient. So if you want to check that webinar out, yeah, do sign up to our mailing list. We'll put a link in the description.
Cool.
So Mark, check this out. So I don't know if you've ever used WhatsApp or Signal, but one of the things you notice is they ask for your contacts. And once they have your contacts, they'll use that to market to other people in your contact, right? Once you are both on the app, they're like, hey, your friend's on the app. It's really creepy that they do that. And so one of the things you can do on above phone is you can actually pick which contacts will be shared with the application. So with Telegram, I want to give them my entire contact book. I can just give them Dave and Bob and choose them. And so you actually have consent in what data you're sharing with these apps. So that's really good. And you can do the same thing with storage. So instead of giving them access to your entire phone, it can only be one particular folder. So here, I can just pick the pictures folder. Here we are. And so Telegram will only have access to that. And so that way you can kind of cordon off these big tech apps maybe you don't trust as much. So that's a really important feature that we like and we recommend people to use.
Well, and I learned that Proton Mail might not be as safe as I thought it was, but you guys have your own mail service built into the phone, right? So people won't be logging their Google Mail accounts into this if they don't want to. They can have a completely new email hosted by Above Phone, or is it hosted on their own phone?
Yeah, so it is hosted on our data center, and we call the service Above Suite. So you get an email, but you also get all these different services, and you get six different services right now, and these are all run on our data center. And so our email is a private email. Now, Proton Mail and other companies are starting to do this thing called encrypted, end-to-end encrypted email. The only problem is that your encryption keys are stored on Proton Mail's servers. And they have this really long story and song and dance about how they can't access your encryption keys. But your encryption key is stored on their servers, and you type in your password on their website to unlock that encryption key and to get access to your mail. So it's really not out of the question that they could unlock your mail if you wanted it to. And there have been computer scientists like Nadeem Kobayashi who have critiqued the Proton Mail's infrastructure and their cryptography and how it works. I wrote about it myself too. So we don't have an end-to-end encrypted mail. We don't want to encrypt it for you, but our email service is a compatible IMAP SMTP service, which means that you can encrypt it yourself. There are apps you can use. You can have the encryption key on your device and you can encrypt it yourself if you wanted. Really the same technology that Proton Mail uses, just a little bit more work to set up. But once it's up, it's going. So this Above Suite is $100 a year for these suite of services. You get video conferencing, a search engine, and calendar. You get an internet phone number, and you also get encrypted messaging, voice calls, and video calls
which I'm happy to demo any of these if whichever, whatever you're interested in.
Let's look into the voice and video calls, because I am curious, you know, if there's ever going to be an alternative to Zoom that I could use more reliably than Zoom.
There is, my friends, and it's called Jitsi. And so the recording is the only thing I'm unsure about here. We definitely don't have recording enabled, but if you wanted to record locally, this is a private video conferencing server that you can use. I'd need to log in here, but I can do in a second. Once you're in here, you get a button to share your call link with anyone. So you could email it to them, text it to them. It doesn't matter. They click on it and they can enter the call through their web browser. They don't even need the Jitsi app. So it's got a lot of the features that you would expect. You know, there's a chat, you can share your screen. And yeah, it's really good. It works really well. We've had pretty large calls on this. So if you get above suite, you'll get access to this video conferencing server. You'll have your own account and you can start creating meetings.
Yeah, I've heard of Jitsi before and I didn't know that it is that user friendly, because that is the big issue with podcasting. The guests I tend to interview, yourself not included, are typically over the age of 50, the authors at least. So not all of them are tech savvy, and it would be kind of a pain in the neck to put them through some sort of rigmarole before getting him on the podcast. So I try to go with the easiest, simplest to use. That's why I go with Zoom, because it seems to be universal. But if Jitsi, you just press a link and you're in there, that's even better. Yeah. So awesome to learn about that. And then I also saw the VPN is built into the phone. A lot of people are paying monthly for a VPN service. This is built right into the phone.
Yeah, that's right. So our VPN service, for just to recap for anyone who doesn't know, a VPN will protect your internet traffic from anyone who's in between you and the website you're visiting. So that could be your internet service provider, could be your cellular service provider. Even the websites you're visiting, they don't see your where you're originating from. So they don't see your actual location. So it's a really important part of internet privacy, if not the most important part, at least on the baseline. So we run a VPN server on our data center, and we have several locations around the country, which you can use. Right now, it's mostly focused on the United States, but we also have one server in the EU. And if you're interested in more servers, let us know, or more locations, let us know. I know there are some places in the EU, like Germany and Austria, that actually care about their privacy. I mean, Germany kicked out Google Street View from their country back in 2011. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, we're essentially trying to make this as easy as possible to use. Like you said, it's integrated into the phone. All you have to do is open the app and log in for the first time.
Wow. Wow. Germany kicked out Google Street View. So does Google, you just can't Street View in Germany? Is that the case?
Huh. Yeah, if you look at the little orange rubber guy, you know, you pick him up and you try and drop him in Germany, you'll see that Germany isn't as densely available as other countries, right? Germany and Austria both. But people, so back in 2011, it's actually, this is badass, the German government announced that they would start canvassing 20 cities with Google Street View. And people just flip shit. Like, people were vandalizing Google Street View cars and harassing the drivers. I mean, but hey, it actually got Google just, okay, it would take me a big step back. And they did so until, I think it was like 2018. Then they started again and there was less resistance. I don't know, people are getting older or whatever, or that generation cares so much. People like grew up during the era of the Gestapo, was not as vocal about it. And so now Germany is a little bit more canvas, but I think it was a special moment in time. And it is really cool to see countries like Germany care about privacy and care about freedom of technology. I think we need to catch up as Americans.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's kind of all hit us very quickly. And yeah, I'm just astonished at how much of the country you can see through Google Street View. And yeah, I guess they block out your license plate, but still, there's a lot you can go off of beyond just the license plate to determine particular information about particular people. And yeah, if you could just go on Google Street View and get a look at anyone's neighborhood, that's, again, it's creepy. Pair that with the travel data and all that. But I want to ask you about traveling abroad, since we just brought up Germany. Does the above phone, is it something that somebody who's traveling a lot will use simply? Because I know for a while, when you traveled to another country, you'd have to get like a SIM card. And now a lot of phones, yeah, you just have an app and you just download the right SIM card when you get to the appropriate country. Is all that still working, yeah, available with the above phone?
Yeah, so the above phone will work with any SIM in any country. And it also works with the eSIMs, which I think you're referring to with the apps. Yeah. And so that'll work just fine. In fact, we have our own cell service that we sell called the Data SIM. And what approach we decided to take, instead of giving you a phone number, which we know or the phone network is tapped, there are legal government programs to gather phone calls and text messages. There's also unconstitutional secret databases like Hemisphere. Long story short, we don't believe in phone calls and texts. So this SIM card only gives you data, and we have different plans. We have plans that cover all of Europe if you're traveling. And it's just really, really simple to start. You just pick your country, you pick a plan. We have two different types. We have the monthly ongoing, and then we have the prepaid. Then you get a little QR code in your email, and you can scan that with your above phone. You can scan that on any phone that supports an eSIM, and it'll go ahead. Now, the cool part about this is we don't send any of your information off to the cellular provider, so it's anonymous that way. And we just focused on making it reliable and as fast as possible. So members of our teams, we've sent them off into remote locations in the U.S. to go scout out how well it works. And it's actually faster than major telecoms for many different reasons. There's things that happen in the back end, like priority contracts given to certain devices. So we've been working really hard on those partnerships. And yeah, so you can use cell service that you get yourself. You can use our data SIM. You can even use the phone on Wi-Fi alone using our internet phone number. You have so many different options.
Yeah, wow. So if somebody was using it just as a Wi-Fi internet phone, what would their monthly bill look like? Would it be relatively small?
It'd be $5 a month. And wow, let me show you what the internet phone number looks like. So I mentioned that encrypted chat app earlier. So the app is called XMPP, and it's internet-based. And what we did is we partnered with another company to run an internet phone number service on top of our XMPP server. So now you can send text messages and make calls through this app on your phone. That service is called JMP. It actually works. It works really well with Android phones. It doesn't work well with iPhones for calling. But this is so, so useful because you can do international texting. You can do group texting. People can call you and you get to pick your own phone number in the United States or Canada. So when you call people, it just looks like it's normal communication coming from that phone number, but you don't have to have a SIM card in your phone. And similarly, you don't have to have your Wi-Fi on. Like right now, this phone I'm using, you can see the airplane mode in the top right corner. It's connected by wire through Ethernet. And so there's no radiation at my house. So it ends up being a lot cheaper. It's $5 a month, and I can still do pretty much anything a normal phone could do.
Wow. And it sounds like you can, if you're someone like me and maybe not so quick to like break the chains, I could just use my existing deal with Verizon and have this phone covered under Verizon. I could even take my existing phone number that I've had for 10 years and use it on my above phone instead, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah. And for most people, it's as easy as taking the SIM card, their existing phone, and putting it in the above phone. Then the number gets activated. But yes, it'll work with any cell service anywhere in the world.
Cool. And is this something fairly easy? Like, I won't have to go to a Verizon store or see like a specialist to swap this out. I could do it all from home with the help of Above Phone.
That's right. We give you a tool in the box that you can use to take out your SIM card. It's a simple 5-minute process, and we have a video showing you kind of like what to look for and stuff. It can be tricky for if you're doing it for the first time, but it's really, really easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So I don't know, maybe you have some insight as to what's going on with this, but for the past year or two, and maybe it's a result of having the podcast and somewhere along the line, I put my phone number out there, but I'll get spam calls that go straight to voicemail, even though I didn't end the call. So they just call me and then they give up on the call right away. And my suspicion is that it's something to do with tracking. Like, what else would that be? Because there's no financial gain for some spammer to just call me once for 3 seconds and then hang up, right? So have you heard anything like that? Does that ring any bells? Am I just a crazy person noticing spam in my inbox, or is there maybe something more to this whole world of spam calls?
Anyone who would want to track you through a phone call would need authorized access to, they call a MSP or a multi-service provider. So they would need to be a part of like AT&T or Verizon or T-Mobile, or maybe with law enforcement involved in this. And if just with a SIM card being plugged in your phone, they have a rough idea of where you are. And, you know, they could call you to try and locate your position a little bit closer, but they don't need to. It's actually kind of an integrated way to track their location. There are better methods, and I've covered kind of how like the location tracking can work on a phone. And it's very, very general. Like, you know how those radio towers are kind of shaped in a triangle. They actually have to get the data back from which cell tower and which azimuth you were facing, which there you were facing, and do some map to try and track you down. And you know how it is with law enforcement. They hate doing it, so it doesn't work out really well. What I suspect in your case is people buy with these massive lists of phone numbers, and they need to make sure that the data is clean and validated. So sometimes they'll just call you to see if you be like, okay, there is someone on the end of this line. Let's keep this phone number and for future operations and stuff like that. And the spammers, you know, spammers doing spammy things.
Huh. That makes sense. So I guess protocol would be not answer the phone then. But sometimes I do answer and then they hang up on me. So maybe that's why I keep getting called, because they're like, yep, this fool's, you know, he's a fool. Keep him on the line. A smart thing to do would be to just ignore it. So yeah, who knows how long that'll take.
Maybe you can call him back, or maybe it's a strategy. They're like, okay, if we're playing hard to get, he's going to like try and call back and get in on the scam.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I need attention. I'm pining for a 30-minute phone call with someone I could barely understand. Yeah, it's a weird world as far as technology goes. Now, I don't imagine Above Phone has a solution for this, but I know you probably have some thoughts and maybe some insights. Everybody's been commenting about how social media, particularly X, is full of bots, right? And I'm just wondering, like, is there a tech solution to that in the future? Is there maybe like a social media platform that you know of that people in the truth movement, I know you mentioned freedomcell.org, which we have had Derek Bros on and talked about that, but that's geared towards in-person meetups and creating actual, you know, tangible networks. As far as social media goes, is there an alternative to X, Facebook, you know, that you've seen that's more in line with what Above Phone is representing?
There are social media networks that have potential to do what X and Facebook are doing. It's just very, very hard to get the traction. So I'm a big champion of XMPP, as I mentioned earlier, and you can build social networks on top of XMPP. An example of this is MOV.IM. It's a federated social network built on top of XMPP. And again, this is, I mean, there are others kind of like this. There's Mastodon, there's Blue Sky, where people can run servers and do it themselves. But I really trust XMPP more because it is an independent standard. There's not just one working group that is making decisions for everyone else. It is more collaborative, and that way anyone can participate and help change the protocol. Now, it's still early on for social media. And to talk about the bot thing, that's something that's plagued our communities for the longest time. Like we've had and we probably still do have bots in our groups. We have a really long list of Telegram groups around the world. And we've actually got to see bots evolve from what I suspect to be very underpaid Eastern, like people in the Philippines and things like that, trying to scam people in our community. But it's gotten more sophisticated to now there's ChatGPT like large language models responding to our posts. And for instance, when we're promoting the Greater Reset, our yearly solutions focused conference, there will be automatic replies trying to raise fear, uncertainty, and doubt based on like one thing the message has said. And this could, they could be a hater too, but the only reason I call it out is because sometimes the bot misses and doubles the reply, and then it's okay. But the scary part is, since a complete feedback loop where LLM is a part of it, and you can't really tell one way or the other who is real and who is genuine. So to go back to answer your question, There are a few different ones. There's Mastodon. It's got its own problems. It's very politicized. People would call it woke. I would call it woke. They try and censor people on their platforms. I still like XMPP more than anything else. I still also use Telegram as mixed feelings as I have about it now for social media. I think it's better than some of the alternatives, but it's also under control now. So I don't have a good answer yet. I'm going to keep my ear out. Yeah. Have you heard of anything?
Well, as far as bots go, I know they plague my Telegram too. And there's not really many. We have a comm bot, a bot that's supposed to combat the bots, but it doesn't always get all of them. But yeah, no, I haven't heard much. One thing that I have noticed on the point of the ChatGPT and the language models is there are certain words, particularly in the realm of conspiracy, that the ChatGPT will always use. Delve is the biggest one. Nobody ever uses the word delve in normal life. Like delve is a word that you use if you're like a poetry major or something. Like you're not using delve casually. But AI, for whatever reason, loves the word delve. I'm not the only one noticing this. There's like articles written about it. And I've seen it a ton in my own ChatGPT prompts, but particularly with like cheap YouTube channels, you'll have like, you know, they'll just churn out a ton of content about conspiracy theories and it's all really poorly done. And the first indication is three sentences in, they'll say, so let's delve into this. And it's like, all right, you're AI, I'm out of here. Right. And it's just, there are some calling cards, but I imagine it's only a matter of time before they're able to really mimic speech and language.
The AI slop is absolutely terrible. It rots my brain. Like I cringe so hard. And YouTube is allowing it to proliferate. So that's also a part of it, is like we're really being disconnected from the truth and good journalism and good content. So it's kind of scary to see that happen. But for your Telegram group, I wanted to offer this. We have an anti-spam federation on Telegram, which is this bot called SophieBot. And you can go ahead and enroll in our federation. And once you do that, we're basically sharing a ban list for any bots you ban in your channel to the federation or in our channel and vice versa. So I think there's like a few hundred groups in this channel. If you go to takebackertech.org and search for the anti-spam federation to learn how to add your own Telegram groups. So I hope that helps. And for anyone who has a Telegram group out there, definitely makes a difference, but it's a constant battle.
Yeah. Well, and I also moderate the Telegram for the Tinfoil Hat podcast, which has like thousands of people in it. So they're pretty good. The people that are active in there, they'll at me when there's somebody that the bots don't delete. But for whatever, yeah. I think Sam has his private. So that does a better job of keeping the bots out, like, because you have to go to the website, click the link, yada, yada. But anyways, yeah, Telegram's an interesting space. I've considered abandoning our Telegram multiple times in the past few months because of the bots. So I'm really grateful that you told me about SophieBot, because that might give us a few more months of frustrated again. But yeah, it is a constant battle. And I think people just have to educate themselves, which is why it's a great opportunity to have yourself on the show and get your insights on this, because yeah, I'm afraid that if people are, you know, just really lazy about their discernment as far as who they're communicating with, they're going to get duped somewhere along the way, you know, and I imagine the younger you are, the more susceptible you're going to be. And, you know, we covered the character.ai story on the podcast, and I went and played around with character.ai a little bit, and you know, it was interesting, but there's no way I can do like a 2-hour podcast with a character.ai bot and anyone with an intact mind would read it or listen to it. You know, like it's just, I felt stupider after participating in it. So yeah, I did argue with AI Karl Marx. He did admit that communism has never worked in history. So there are some benefits, you know, we could get AI Karl Marx to admit he was wrong, but at the end of the day, like, that's not Karl Marx, right? And I think that distinction is, you know, that uncanny valley is going to blur more and more, especially for people who are, growing up in the, you know, YouTube generation, like these kids who, like you and I, we were old enough to maybe watch television, or maybe our parents didn't let us watch television, et cetera. But there was no, like, only a few kids were really like obsessed with computers when we were growing up. Nowadays, it's all the kids, everyone, they're all on YouTube or video games, you know? So yeah, it's going to be a weird world in 20 or 30 years when they're all adults. That's for sure.
It's sad. Yeah. It's just, I think having gone through technology addiction myself, like, I know how powerful it is, and it's just a form of escapism. And I mean, luckily, you know, we're conscious and aware about it. I mean, we can begin to heal our relationship with technology. You know, that's really what Above is about, as we're trying to make technology that you can use that doesn't use you, and to kind of make it chill out a little. Like, it's gone too far. So to find the area and the point in time where it was actually serving us and just keep it there. I don't know how much more time we have, but yeah, I want to just end by saying, if you guys are interested in seeing the Above phone or anything that we're doing with the phone or the laptop, you can also watch our webinars at learn.abovephone.com. And that's like the best place to learn. I've kind of covered everything from password managers to how the cellular network spy on you and all that type of stuff. So it's a good resource, and that you can always reach out to us through abovephone.com as well. Just a little button that goes to me and my team, and we would love to support you guys. Every device that you purchase, whether it's a phone or a laptop, comes with a real live call with a person, kind of just like how Mark and I are talking right now. You get 45 minutes with us. And we help you migrate from your old device or whatever you're using, iPhone or whatever. We'll help you get all those apps installed onto the Above phone. We'll help you move your contacts over. So you have a lot of human, organic intelligence supporting you. It's not just AI. There's no AI. So yeah, this is kind of the mission right now. It's a really important mission, because if enough of us are on these independent networks, as you mentioned, like social media, that's important. These networks only have value from our energy. So we've got to do our best to build these networks while we can.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your effort in improving the quality of this technology we're using. And as we were talking about before, improving the quality of the energy we're interacting with. I think that's a big reason why people are drawn to a podcast like this, because the energy of what we're talking about is, I think it ails what people are, you know, needing most, you know, or where people are hurting most rather. So yeah, thank you for joining me and giving my audience a full in-depth look at this. And all of the links are going to be in the episode description. There is a promo code CRAZY so you can save when you check out with Above Phone. Just use the promo code CRAZY and get in touch with me when you do pick up your Above Phone, because I will be reaching back out to you from an Above Phone. So that's going to be pretty sick. Thank you.
Mark's going dark.
Yeah, we're going dark. I've already had the Faraday. The Faraday bag is an everyday carry for me. I don't leave the house without the Faraday bag. So yeah, now this is like full commitment to it. So I'm ready for it. I like it. So thank you so much. I appreciate this. Hakeem, you are the man. Thank you for your effort and what this means for society. We have yet to see, but I think it's going to be a brighter world if people have more space between them and these digital tech overlords that have just quickly made their way into our lives. So yeah, let's cut the cord, literally.
Cutting the cord, we're detoxifying. Thank you, Mark, and to everyone listening. And it was a pleasure to join you guys. I'm sending you many blessings and good fortune to everything you're working on. Cheers.
Thank you so much. Likewise. And until next episode, folks. Get yourself an Above Phone and immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was our episode with Hakeem Anwar. And we've got another episode coming out today. That's right, today, in a never-before-unprecedented event, I am releasing a 0.5 episode. That's right. This is episode 498, and I will be releasing episode 498.5. Why? Because I erroneously told Hakeem that Derek Bros has already been on the show, which he has not been on the show. I interviewed Derek Bros alongside host Mike Romanelli of the Free Thinker Society podcast back when I was helping him produce the show, and I forgot that was when I spoke to Derek Bros. It was not on this podcast. So Derek Bros will be joining me for the first time. And Hakeem was right to suspect that I had never had Derek Bros on the podcast. So I corrected him, but I was wrong. And now here I am correcting myself weeks later from talking to Hakeem. Shout out to Hakeem, because in the meantime, they sent me this amazing Above Phone. It's a Google Pixel 9 decrypted, totally off the grid. I love it. I haven't put my SIM card in it yet, so stay tuned for more updates on what I'm doing with my Above Phone. But so far, I do have some apps that I've downloaded from. It's called the F-Droid Basic. I think it's basically like an app store where you get open source apps. And I found some pretty cool stuff on there. And I really like the Libera FD that is built right into my Above Phone. I was able to seamlessly import all my favorite PDFs onto this phone, and now I have them in this really great app that I could read whatever I want in. So it's fantastic. I highly recommend that program, especially alongside of the Above Phone. I don't know if that's Above Phone that created Libera, or if they're just putting that in there as a default, but I love that comes with the Above Phone. It's perfect. And yeah, stay tuned for more updates on what I'm doing with my Above Phone, and I'm sure you'll see me talking about it in future interviews, like the one coming up today with Derek Bros. So go and listen to that as well, since Hakeem and Derek, they don't work together directly, but they are allied in this cause. So shout out to Hakeem. Shout out to Above Phone. Get yourself an Above Phone with the promo code CRAZY to save at checkout. Support the show. Let them know they did the right thing by sending me an Above Phone. And get yourself in on the digital privacy, the security that comes with using the Above Phone's suite of products. They have the laptop, tablets, phones, all decrypted and completely private, protected, and transparent, really, because you're never going to be 100% off the grid unless your phone's in a Faraday bag, but at least you'll have the transparency to know that when your Above phone is off, it is off and it is not listening to you, it is not sending your data to some company, yada yada yada. So get yourself an Above phone, use the promo code CRAZY, sign up on the Patreon, patreon.com/mftic. You can go to myfamilythinksimcrazy.com and find the links there. You can also go to myfamilythinksimcrazy.substack.com and support us through Substack. Virtually everything that's on the Patreon, minus a couple things. And yeah, that is all. Thank you for tuning in, and immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. Get up off phone! If you can't get out, you can't see through. And if you can't get up off phone, the phone's above you. If you can't see past, your sight won't last. If you can't see truth, you can't get out.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.